Ah, okay, that looks familiar. Usual caveat. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not sure why. It's a story I heard a few days ago at Vaux of a young pastor who was starting work at a new church. And you can work out for yourselves what sort of a church it was and where it was. The thing that he loved about his new church was that he got instant feedback when he was preaching. He'd stand up and he'd start talking, and after a few seconds someone else would stand up and they'd say, "Great, amen." Or they might say, "Tell it like it is, brother." Or they might say, "Right on." But anyway, people would stand up, and he felt this was great, that he was just being carried along on this surge of approval. And it was wonderful, and that all went fine for about the first 3 weeks. And then one day he stood up and started speaking and nothing happened. So he kept going and nothing kept happening. And he was quite concerned about this, but he kept going and he kept going. And started to get really worried. All he could see was all these faces. Nobody was doing anything. And then eventually a middle-aged lady stood up at the back of the church, and he thought, "Oh, thank goodness for that." And she looked up to heaven and she raised her arms and she said, "Dear God, please help him." I thought that was really funny. obviously I was wrong. Okay. 2 weeks ago we started a two-part series on hearing the voice of God. We had a really good discussion, almost robust at times. The discussion was, we're going to continue that theme today. I'm going to split this into two parts. Those of us who were here will remember that we put up a number of questions on a whiteboard and then took a vote on which one we'd actually address. This one won. How would you know that God is speaking to you? I'm going to break today's session into two sessions. This question was taken as being a question, how does God speak to an individual? That was how we addressed it. I want to also today look at how we hear the voice of God as a group of people, how do we hear the voice of God? As a church, how do we hear it? So we'll just talk briefly about how that works, how that might work as an individual, and then we'll have a discussion about that, and then look at the corporate bit. So we'll start off with this. Those of you who were here 2 weeks ago may remember that one of the first things that happened was that Karen said that we talked about a particular occasion when she felt that God was speaking to her, and she said, "I just knew." She said she was absolutely certain that God was speaking to her about a particular issue. I think there are probably many people here today who have had that experience, that occasionally you just know that something's going on. In the good old days, back in the Old Testament, the prophets, they just knew that God was speaking to them. The phrase that's used is, "the word of the Lord came to Isaiah," or whoever it might happen to be, and they just knew that God was speaking to them. That word "came" isn't strong enough in the English language. In the Hebrew, it's very, very emphatic. It's very strong. It's the word "haya," which means to be, to exist, to become, come to pass. Just to illustrate how strong this word is, the first person singular present tense of "haya" is Yahweh. I am. You all understand what that means? It's the title that God chose for himself. It could also be, "I am what I am," he said. It could also be translated, "I will be what I will be." But that's the name that God chose for himself. I think that's absolutely brilliant as a name. And one of the most important things about it is it's a verb. It's not a noun. Most names we give things are nouns, obviously. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah, good. A noun is a describing word. It describes something. So the word "God" is definitely a noun. Whereas "Ken," keep going.
I'm getting my hand up.
You are? Okay, all right. We'll look forward to that.
I was going to ask you a question about it, but I didn't want to interrupt your sentence.
Okay. Right, okay.
Right on.
Thank you, Bevan. I'm glad you're here. Where was I? Yahweh. God chose a name for himself, which is a verb, not a noun. It's not descriptive, it's a verb of action. God is a God who does stuff. He is a God who is doing something. He is active. He is not just sitting around doing nothing. Hang on a second. My notes are stuck together. I do not know why. Yeah, God is active. He's busy. I think this is actually important for today's conversation. You know, if we're saying how does God speak to us, then we're talking about a God who is active. We are talking about a God who wants to speak to us, wants things to happen. I think that's really important. If you translate that word "higher" literally, it becomes a little bit clumsy. But I think it actually does say something here. Rather than saying the word of the Lord came to, it would be better to say the word of the Lord became actively present to. Do you understand? It seems just to have more dimensions to it. It's not just that God spoke to a prophet, but that what God was saying became very, very, very real to them. There was no sense of, gee, I wonder if God's talking to me. You know, this was something which is... So sometimes... as far as the Bible is concerned, and in our own lives, sometimes it's just clear. Michael Abraham, who was with us this morning, pointed out during that discussion that one way of assessing whether God is speaking is to ask yourself whether what you're hearing is congruent with, is reflected in things that you already know that God has said. Does the voice say things that are consistent with what God has said previously? The main way that we will tackle that, of course, is first and foremost, what did God say in Scripture? In some cases, this can be very clear. Anybody remember this guy? Harold Camping, 2 years ago? He was saying the world was going to end on May the 21st. Do you remember that? Thousands of people believed him. There was an extraordinary thing that was going on. I know it was a bit of a joke, but when you actually read about what was going on at that time, there were an awful lot of... There was this guy who offered rent an atheist service. He would guarantee that he could supply an atheist. And when you as a Christian went up in the rapture, an atheist would come and look after your pets for a fee. This really happened. This is capitalism as it should be. There's somebody who saw a niche and just moved in and grabbed it.
Ask that question now. What's the translation of the word?
Word?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Ask David Cohen.
It feels like a really important one to understand what we know when you say the word.
Yeah.
It feels like that's a really important word.
Right.
That's the thing that they're receiving is the word. So
oh, I see. Yes, yes. Okay, the message in that sense. The message of God, the word of God. But I can get the exact Hebrew when I get home and get the books out and send it, put it up on MHCCD. Yeah, yeah. There were thousands of people who believed this. There were quite a lot of people who actually sold everything that they had, everything that they owned, because they believed this guy so much. And the thing is, of course, that if he'd taken the teachings of Jesus, who said quite clearly that nobody knows when these things are going to happen. He said it very, very clearly. Even he didn't know, he said, when these things were going to happen. Only the Father knows, he said. This guy didn't believe that he'd heard the word of God. He believed he'd worked it out for himself. But this is one way of assessing whether someone who you hear ever believes that that they've heard the word of God. Does it tie in with what we already know about what God has said? One question, of course, is which scripture? Because hold on a second. It is in fact possible to if you just want to look for if you think that something, a thought's popped into your head and you want to find a verse in the Bible which supports that thought, you're going to find it. I could just about guarantee that. If you look hard enough, you will find it. You can find a scripture somewhere in the Bible which will support just about any crazy idea that you can come up with. So it's not just a matter of saying a scripture. You have to look for the key elements of how God works, how God operates, the key things that he's said. Do they reflect those key ideas? Speaking of crazy ideas, there is one really big problem with hearing the voice of God. And I think it was best expressed by Lily Tomlin. I know I've put this one up before, but I love it. How come when we talk to God we're praying, but when he talks to us we're schizophrenic? This is the way society sees it, you know. If you pray, talk to God, you're praying, but if you start hearing God's voice,
oh dear.
The truth of the matter is that there are a very large group of people in this world who absolutely believe that they hear the voice of God. And the reason that they believe that they hear the voice of God is because they have a mental illness. This is just simply truth. So how can I, if I think I hear the voice, be absolutely certain that I'm hearing the voice of God and not that I'm just crazy? One of the answers is that I can't. I think there's a bottom line is that I can never absolutely be sure about that. But we'll come on to another way of looking at it. Jesus said something which is very handy in this. Sorry, it's just a bit long. He wasn't actually talking about crazy people. He was talking about false prophets. But I think the idea that he's putting forward here is applies in both cases. So a false prophet is somebody who isn't crazy, if you like, but they're just coming along and they're saying, this is what God says, and they're doing it for their own ends. They're trying to manipulate people in some way. But I think what he's saying works well for both cases. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So they're saying, what he's saying here is, look at this person, look at their character, look at the way they interact with other people. Do they generally have a good effect on the community? One of the interesting things with this as a way of working out whether God is speaking or not is that it can only happen in community. It can't happen in a short space of time. If you're going to assess somebody's character in this way, then you have to know them over a period of time. If there's one thing I think that God has been saying to me a lot recently, it is the absolute importance of that everything that happens in the Christian sphere happens in community. I always see myself as somebody who would make a really good hermit. But I'm increasingly becoming convinced that hermitry is not a viable option for Christians. We have to be in groups. We have to be part of a community. And when it comes to hearing the word of God, that's particularly important. And one thing about that is that in community it gives you the opportunity to bounce ideas around. I think that God said this to me, okay? But if there are more mature Christians around, there are other people around who I know and trust, I can go to them and say, I think God said this to me, what do you think? And hopefully you'll get good, honest feedback. Yeah. Find somebody who really knows their Bible. Find somebody who you regard as a mature Christian. Ask those kind of questions. Okay, it's discussion time. How are we doing? Ooh, no clock. Oh, there it is. Okay, we're doing fine. As I said, in a little while we'll come on to talk about corporate, how we get on with the corporate life. Yeah, thanks. Find a switch and push it. Any thoughts? Oh dear.
Please?
Yep.
Just one thing on the corporate side.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that in a minute.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I didn't make myself clear about it. We're going to talk about the what we've done so far just for a while, and then talk a bit about how we might hear things in the corporate. Or if nobody's got anything to say, I mean, if I've completely and utterly, you know, filled in all the gaps, then Ian.
What about discernment when you hear the voice of God, he's guiding you in the direction you want to go?
Sorry?
When you feel the voice of God is telling you in a direction that you desire to go already.
Yes, I'd be deeply suspicious immediately, yes. But
so how would you apply discernment to that sort of scenario?
I don't understand what you're saying about a sermon.
Discernment.
Discernment, okay. I need a hearing aid, okay. The question was, if you hear God saying something that you really want to hear, and he's telling you something that you go in the direction that you want to go, how do you apply discernment in that? I think what I've just said, you know, talk to somebody else. I think it's a real worry when, personally, if you're thinking, you know, it's very easy for us to be influenced by our own desires. It's a simple thing. It's very easy that, and us to say, oh, that must be God speaking to me. I could tell you a story about how I fell in love with a girl called Christine, and I was absolutely, totally convinced that she was the one that I should marry. But I'm not going to, and you would have noticed that I didn't marry her. Yeah. Claire? Yeah.
Two things. One response to Ian, that I don't think it's accurate to think God's always going to want us to do things we don't want to do. Actually, perhaps our desires are sometimes of God, that God wants us to desire the things God desires. We certainly pray, your will be done, and not our will be in line with God. But that wasn't actually why I'm in mind. I wanted to comment on the activity we did 2 weeks ago when I asked everyone to listen for Tony, for the voice of Tony, yeah. And then we ran out of time to debrief it very quickly, but when I asked people what they heard Tony say, I had people say things they heard Tony tell them, and people who had Greg say to them, Tony asked me to tell you.
Yep.
But I actually had a third person walking around the room telling things, and nobody heard Elise say, and she was gossiping, and she was saying, I heard that Tony said, or I think I heard Tony say, and when we asked what did you hear Tony, nobody considered that credible enough to tell me that they heard. She said she spoke to lots of people, and nobody heard that. And that was really interesting to me as what we consider a credible way God might speak to us, that somebody telling us what they've heard about God, we didn't consider credible in that situation.
Good.
I'm not sure I believe anybody saying that God speaks to them.
You don't believe anyone who says that?
No.
No, okay.
From my left brain, I don't believe it. It's my experience of people. Partly because it's not verifiable. But on the other hand, if they say God spoke to them, then I treat them as if God spoke to them.
Good.
Because that is not... That is part of my love and care. If you say God spoke to you, God spoke to you. So I live in two completely contradictory things. One is part of me that says, well, you know, really, nah. Which I can't provide. But on the other hand, if that person says that, whether that's out of mental illness or out of deep conviction, then I take that person at face value. I have to sit and vote, and sometimes I don't do that very well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's insulting to people or not. No. A statement of love. It means a statement of love.
Yeah. Honesty is always good. And I think the truth is that we do not know. You know, there's a bottom line. You know, we cannot know that God is speaking to us in an absolute sense. You know, for myself, I keep going. But, yeah. Thelma?
Two things. I wonder, when we say the voice of God spoke to me, do we see that as separate to the Spirit of God within us, convicting us, or saying to us about things? I wonder if we interchange the words or not.
Yes.
Do we look at it both ways? Before I came here, I was at home and I knew I had two, but I was at a crossroads. I didn't feel a physical voice of God at that point, but I felt within me, I either do something about investigating this further, or I carry on as I am. And I knew if I then took the step, I just was at a crossroads of thought, I either carry on like I am, or I go and say, okay, God, let's give you a go. Let's give you another go. Let's see if we can find something to do with you again, sort of thing, yeah? And the second, and so I did, and here I am, 4 years later. The second time, 4 years ago, my mum passed away, it's almost to the day. I didn't feel the voice of God at all then, but I felt a complete presence within me that entire week afterwards. Every day I knew God was right there, I almost felt like touching Spirit, God, Jesus, I don't know, but it was so palpable. I didn't hear a voice or anything. I just knew I was in this capsule. And God was right there around me the whole time. So to me, God was speaking to me, but I just felt a complete calm presence that I hadn't experienced before, actually, in that way. So yeah, picture of my answer.
Good, thank you.
Often if God speaks to me, sometimes in words, sometimes in pictures, various ways, but I'm always conscious that my own mind is in there as well, and I wonder how much is my subconscious talking and how much is God. And I think there's a bit of a continuum there. But I'm intrigued with the fact that when we read the Bible, talk about looking at the stories of Abraham and Moses and various other people, and a lot of the prophets, it says God said, do this, that, the other thing. And they seem prophets, no doubt at all. It makes me wonder if we live in a different situation or what's the difference?
We do, yeah. We're actually going to touch on that when we talk about the corporate stuff in a minute or two. Michael.
Well, I agree with all the above. I think that the voice of God is not necessarily a literal voice, but it might be. It can be, you know, feeling you get. It can be something more specific. It can be a guiding direction on your thoughts. It can be something that somebody says to you. It can be all kinds of things. There's no limit to the way in which God can communicate this. And that means that even if you are crazy, the voice that you hear might actually be the voice of God. And I can think of a couple of examples of people that I've met who, in times of mental illness, have heard the voice of God. And where their life went to next indicated that give some credence to the idea that it really was the voice of God. I've also seen many people in serious mental illness who are hearing the voice of God, and I know that it definitely isn't. But there are ways that you can see the difference.
Yep. Kevin? Last one, and then we'll move on to the corporate stuff, if that's all right.
I'm afraid I was a little weary in hearing the voice of God, and yet I think I've heard experience, but I've heard God's actions. Last week I was at White Castle, and a little seagull was, I was fishing by myself, and there was a seagull there, and he had a hook in one claw, and a line wrapped around his neck, and he was distressed. I tried to catch him to release this. Good. I went home deeply distressed and went back a couple of days later, and this seagull hopped up to me, picked him up, took a look out, and released him. I believe that was God's actions.
Okay. Good. While I was preparing this, I started thinking about corporate discernment. How does a group of people discern the word of God? In the good old days, back in the Old Testament, it was easy. God provided a prophet, and the prophet said, okay, God's spoken to me, and this is what he said, and all the people said, yes, we'll do that, and then usually did something else. But, you know, that it appears that it was very, very clear. Today, obviously things are different, but it struck me that it might be a good idea to, might be an interesting thing, and Paul, I would particularly like to hear your thoughts. Our church is a bit over 14 years old, the group of people, some of us were meeting together before that, obviously we know that, but our church is about 14 years old. It's not the same as it was 14 years ago. In fact, we wouldn't have wanted it to be the same as it was 14 years ago. It's changed. Now, what has happened? What has been the agent of that change? You know, is it just that people have discussed things and thought, oh, it would be a good idea if we did this? Or has God been involved in that? You know? What's funny?
Well, it's me getting older.
getting older is what's changed. Yes, yeah, we've become more mellow. Well, this is true. This is true.
It's always in the sense that things that we thought were a good idea don't necessarily fit. Like we had a lot more small groups, and then a lot more people had less time due to the pandemic and various other things, and you don't have that number of small groups anymore. And part of that might be just that everybody is a different demographic.
Hmm. See, my own view is that the church has become perhaps. Hang on, let me go back a bit. A fraction. I had a conversation with Lindy during the week, who, as we all know, has got wisdom. And we were talking about the difference between. We actually talk about individuals, about what a person, what I am, but also the question of what am I becoming. And you can spend a lot of time thinking about what I am. For me, that is less interesting than what's the next step. What am I becoming? We can ask the same question about a group. We can ask the same question about a church. And for me, this group of people has continuously, over that 14 years, been becoming something good. Growing, maturing, you know, it's become a better place to be. It's become a place where people can ask any questions they like. It's become a place where we're much more certain of ourselves, much more confident in what we are and what sort of a community we are. But we're not the same as we were 14 years ago. So the question that I'm wanting to examine is: to what degree have we in any sense been hearing the voice of God? And if we did hear the voice of God in that progression, or is it something where we basically looked at what we've been becoming and said, "Well, that's good." What's God's role been in all this? Is this a good question? I thought it was a cracker.
I actually react against the notion of God having a role, as if we've got a whole play, and
yeah.
we'll give God a role as well.
Yeah.
As opposed to the notion that we are living inside of God, all of us and our
yeah.
community, our world lives within God. So it's a bit like saying, what role does the ocean play in me going for a swim? You know,
fairly important and big one.
For me, I'm the play. That's probably a bit obscure, but that's the question I'd like to ask you. What's our motivation for wondering about God's role as opposed to...
Pick any word you like. Has God been involved in us becoming who we are?
If we're Christians, how can God not be involved in everything?
Absolutely.
Every breath?
Absolutely. So what have we seen happening? Oh, what have you seen happening?
I've seen people not being able to read the light switch, obviously. We're human beings and we are created by God. We contain God. And for me, I don't look at someone's changing lifestyle and wonder if that's because God has changed them that way. I just think of it as living in God.
Okay.
No matter what, you know, it's not like I started off less godly than I am now. God has been totally surrounding me all my life.
Yep.
God has
Mind you, that part of footprints.
Yeah. The one about when there was only one set of footprints.
The footprints of the sand, you know. And he says, how come there's two sets of footprints and now there's only one set? Why weren't you with me, God? God said, because I was carrying it.
Mm. Yep. I like the version of that story where he says, and what about those sort of scratchy marks along there? And then God says, well, that's what I was dragging you along. Anyone else? Paul? Yep. Oh, we've got Lindy in the back. Next.
One of the things that, particularly in the last couple of years, I've come to have a renewed understanding and respect for, and that is the notion of faith, which is an ironic place to arrive at, having spent so many years, you know, all of the things that you can know without having to rely on. guess the point that I'm at now is your very first slide. I could be wrong. All of us could be wrong. If there's one thing that I've seen change and therefore create space for people is to walk the journey of faith, knowing that we could all be wrong, all of us, collectively and individually. And yet, we come here week after week taking a big risk. On the one hand, we could be wrong, but on the other hand, something intangible propels us to say the words, to continue sharing the journey together. And for me, there's got to be something in that. I guess at the point I'm at now, I feel really uncomfortable with the language of God speaking to me, because that's just saying so many things which arise out of that starting point. I could be wrong. Maybe he did say something. Maybe he said something to you. I don't know. I give myself the benefit of the doubt, you know, responding to those hunches, and I give other people the benefit of the doubt. Now, whether that was God speaking, or whether that's us just being true to ourselves, or whether that's us deceiving ourselves, I don't know. But I find myself week after week wanting to keep walking the journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, that's partly what faith is about, which lays me open and hostage to all kinds of criticism, saying I don't give a shit. And I continue walking that walk of faith. Does that help?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, it very much reflects what's going on for me. I think, you know, they're almost exactly the same. Even though, you know, I do regard myself as a mystic, and I've had the lot. You know, I've had visions, I've had all sorts of stuff. But nonetheless, there is always this intellectual knowledge, and not just intellectual. There is this always sense of you're taking the next step and having absolutely no idea whether your foot's going to actually land on something solid, or whether it's going to, you know, there's an abyss there, or what's going on. I think there's just some simple truth in that. You were talking about... No, I've lost it completely. No, it couldn't have been good. Okay, sorry, Lindy. You had your hand up?
Yes, I did, but I'm possibly. I think just a comment on what you said about this community and how we've got to where we are, but I think that there has been, since we began, a sense that this is God's church, not ours. And sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that, but I remember when we did first start, because I was an elder then, and we thought, okay, let's just meet together till Easter, which I think was 4 months later or something, and see whether we continue. And we have continued, but I think there is that sense that for some reason it may be that we cease to continue and we don't have a vested interest in that, because of that sense that this is God's church and it may be for a time. I think with the corporate discernment, I think there's an ongoing thing that we remember how to listen to each other, that that's important, and that we listen for God, even though that makes sense to us. And that we wait when waiting feels right, and that we step out when stepping out feels right.
Linda?
I'll take advantage of the fact that I'm trying to give. If somebody came into the church after the big decision they made to start, I guess I've watched and seen a change in the way that we interact as a group and how we do discern things. And we often joke about how long it can take for us to make a decision, over things. But I think there's been an evolution or a growth of people being happy to wait, to live in a bit of chaos or messiness of indecision until the right decision is made. And I've seen that grow, I think. I've seen more people engage in a spirit of questioning rather than defensiveness. Now, that's not always, you know, we're imperfect, and I'm not trying to set us up, but I guess I've seen that, and there's an increasing gentleness in our discussions and a respectfulness, and I see that in the email discussions that go on as well. And I see that as a really positive thing. Now, some people would see it as indecisiveness or, you know, that we're... But yeah, so for me, I look forward to continuing to grow because we do get it wrong. Perhaps sometimes we are too slow. Perhaps there are times when we need the prophet to stand up and say, you are wrong, we are going to do this. You know, we're probably not really good at hearing that kind of thing. And maybe we screen that out. But yeah, so that's my observation of us in terms of how we do our corporate discernment. And I revel in the richness of it, actually.
But you'd say that that's very different to where we were when you first joined?
Look, I would say there's been a growth in it. I don't think it's like been a huge, you know, a right-hand turn, but I've seen it grow and mature.
Yeah. Excellent. Michael, we're going to have to call an end to this soon. Not an end, no.
Picking up on what Lindy said about this being God's church. That's essentially the nature of what church is. Church is God's. It's not ours. That when church is for real, it is God's church. But then there's also this other thing that we make and we call it church, which is another thing entirely, that social thing that we do within the church. And it's hard to tell the difference between the two. And I think what we have here is a bit of both. And I can't tell where one finishes and the other one starts. So I guess, yeah, there is that uncertainty, but, you know, looking at myself, for instance, when I was nominated for the eldership, I accepted that nomination because I had a strong sense that this was what God wanted me to do. What I didn't have was any sense of why he wanted me to do it.
Yep.
And I wasn't going to try and impose some reason, because all I knew was that this is what he wanted me to do. And I had to accept that was enough. And I think one way that we have grown as a church, or this congregation, is where we're prepared to listen to the stuff that we can discern to be of God and not try to impose too much of the rest of them. You know, we won't always get it right, but this has got to be that willingness to listen and to sit before us.
Okay. Ron, and then John, and then I think we're going to have to wind it up.
I was just going to, it reminds me of Quaker jargon, which is self-explanatory, where they talk about individual leadings, and they talk about having the leadings tested in meeting and group discernment. That comes in unity with it.
Rob?
Something really brief. In this about this church, God's church, which we're all members, participants, God walks with us. We are guided and we influence this church, guided by the words of God in the
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to call a halt to it there. Back to Marita.